Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to East County Magazine's forum for the La Mesa City Council candidates. I'm Miriam Raftery, editor at East County Magazine, and I'll be moderating tonight's event. John Sepulveda, our producer, will be our co-host and running things, keeping everything running smoothly and also being our timekeeper tonight. There are six candidates running in this race. Three of them will be participating tonight. Councilman Colin Parent, as well as challengers Jack Hsu and Alan Durden. Mark Papenfuss, who was scheduled to be here tonight, had to cancel because of a family emergency, but he's promised to do a Zoom interview with us soon. Councilmember Christine Alicio and Laura Lothian were unavailable tonight, but they have also or are doing Zoom interviews with us, and so we'll be posting all of those within the next couple of days on our site at eastcountymagazine.org, along with, of course, the video of this forum. So I would like to thank all of our candidates for being here, and also thank the Facebook Journalism Project and KNSJ Radio for supporting our series of virtual candidate forums during the COVID-19 pandemic. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for an opening statement, followed by questions, and then a one-minute closing statement. We'll be allowing answers of up to 2 minutes on most of the questions and a one-minute maximum on a few rapid-fire response topics at the end. And we want to get in as many of the questions that our readers and listeners sent in as we possibly can. So let's start with opening statements. I'd like each of you to please share your most important qualifications, what accomplishments you're most proud of, and what your goals are if you're elected or reelected, and you know what you may hope to change. Colin, as the incumbent in the race, let's start with you, and then we'll move on to the challengers.
Sure, and thank you very much, Miriam, for the invitation, and hello, everyone in La Mesa. This is I'm calling in from my campaign headquarters, which also is where I live. I was first elected to the city council in 2016, and I was the first new Democrat elected to the city council in over 20 years. I grew up in East County. I attended Valhalla High School, followed by UC San Diego for undergraduate and NYU for law school. In my day job, I run a nonprofit, and we advocate for safe streets for our schools and also for affordable housing. So in the last 4 years that I've served on council, I've been very hard at work for you in La Mesa. I've done helped get our city to adopt a climate action plan, the first and perhaps now the only enforceable climate action plan in East County. I've also led on making it easier for homeowners to be able to invest in their own properties with granny flats for those who want to do that, and to also simultaneously make a contribution to addressing our affordable housing challenges. And then also I've led the fight to keep La Mesa's farmers market in the village, which is just an enormous attraction for businesses and for families and something I'm quite proud of. I'm really interested in keeping on the city council to keep moving in the same direction, to keep working hard for my constituents. And, you know, I'm proud to be a Democrat, and I'm endorsed by the San Diego County Democratic Party. But these elections, these local elections, they're nonpartisan, and I'm very proud of my record working for to help economic development in La Mesa. That's why I'm also endorsed by the San Diego, the East County Regional Chamber of Commerce, and very interested and committed to making sure that we have a thriving business community here in La Mesa, so that we can keep on attracting places that are going to employ people, that are going to be attractive places to go and do and do fun things. I'm really excited to be able to talk about my record and talk about how we can keep La Mesa moving in the right direction. So thank you very much, and I appreciate, again, the opportunity to be here.
Very good. Jack, we'll hear from you now. I'm being Zoom bombed by my cat up here.
Thank you, Miriam, and thank you for having this forum. It's great to be with you and the other candidates and to speak to lots of voters, I hope, in La Mesa. I've been in La Mesa, living in La Mesa for over 34 years. I've raised three children. My wife and I have raised three wonderful children, all attending local schools. Because of the events that occurred on May 30th and watching the city struggle the city council struggle that made me think that I need to do more for my community. I've been a longtime advocate for many things, from dealing with the environment to police reform to helping the homeless, but I felt the city council needed more help. So I needed to change my position from an advocate to a participant to help set city policy and to help the city do better. I've been in all kinds of positions in government. I've been a park superintendent for almost 30 years, doing community involvement work, 22 years as a peace officer teaching community policing, and a long time president, actually 25 years as president of the Cleveland National Forest Foundation, which has really helped deal with regional planning issues, help us deal with greenhouse gas emissions, climate action plans, and many other things. I've been endorsed by not only the County Democratic Club, but also by the unions. I'm someone who really believes in helping workers. I stated in my vision statement that I really want a vibrant La Mesa from one end to the city to the other, and that we don't leave anyone behind. So I want our city to prosper and really set a high bar for city services, for a law enforcement agency. The law enforcement oversight task force is going to be presenting a ordinance to the city council later this month, and that's going to be a cutting edge proposal. I was involved with that for over a year and a half. It's really going to be the best kind of oversight committee we can have. That's one step towards making our police department more trusted by the community and really giving it the strength it needs. But thank you very much, Marianne, and I'll stop there and we'll get the rest later.
Okay, and next we're going to hear from Alan Durden. And I should mention, by the way, there are two seats open, so folks, you get to vote for two people on the ballot. Alan, you're next.
Thank you for having me, Marianne, I appreciate it. 45 years ago, my family moved to La Mesa. People signed a petition to get my family to move. We didn't move. We decided to stay. We left La Mesa. My brother Kevin was killed on the streets of La Mesa, right across the street from La Mesa Dell Elementary School, by a 16-year-old. We could have left, but we stayed because La Mesa is our home. Recently, my wife and I were profiled by people taking our pictures, writing down our license plate, while driving home from the Vaughn Shopping Center. Wow. This is my home. I love La Mesa. Any of these issues could have validated my family to leave La Mesa, but we decided to stay because this is my home. I grew up in La Mesa. My friends are here. I raised my family here. All I know that La Mesa is better together. Now, I don't have any endorsements. I'm a regular guy concerned about the community. I have no hidden agendas other than to keeping La Mesa safe, keeping the business community thriving, and making sure we take care of our families, our kids that need a place to gather, grow, and to have good learning facilities and a vibrant library and a community center to be proud of. And that's why I joined the race to run for city council.
Wow, it's a powerful story, Alan. Thank you for sharing that history and your vision. Thanks to all of you for sharing that information. Our next question. La Mesa, as most of you have alluded to, has been the target of protests over police action and racial justice issues. And there was the riot that did so much damage in late May. What do each of you believe should be done to address the concerns over racial justice and police actions in an increasingly diverse population, while also making sure police are able to protect public safety and avoid a repeat of the riot and looting? And We'll rotate who goes first. Jack, we'll hear from you first on this one.
Thank you. I want to remind folks of some history. 5 years ago, the grand jury in San Diego recommended that the city of La Mesa, with a few other cities, form oversight boards or review boards. The police chief decided he didn't need one and said they weren't going to form one. The city council did not do it. We lacked leadership at that time, because had we had one, perhaps the police department could have started some reform. This particular officer that had the incident at the trolley station was known by other people of color as someone who did racial profiling and was abusive to people of color. We could have been involved, the police department could have been involved with that particular officer to intercede and perhaps prevent this whole thing. This is a lack of leadership from our own city elected officials. And I want to change that. We have to ask the right questions. The city of La Mesa Police Department has data to show that they arrest black people at a rate 3 times higher than the population of blacks in La Mesa. We had to find that information out through a Freedom of Information Act. We have the data. The city council didn't ask for that kind of analysis. We're going to have to ask that of the future police chief when we do those interviews. Thank you.
Alan, you're next.
You know, the police play a huge part in what we do. And as a community of 60,000 people, SafeWise, which is a pioneer in unbiased home security reviews, conducted a survey in La Mesa surrounding public safety. In it, it said La Mesa was ranked 66th safest city in California. Our violent crime rate is 2.6 per 1,000 residents, and our property crime rate was 17.4 amongst 1,000 people. SafeWise found that 16% of Californians have experienced violent crime in the past 38 months, okay? You know, having said that, the police are not doing that bad of a job. The police play a huge role in these statistics. So I'm not advocating the defunding of the police department. What I am advocating for is ensuring that they continue to keep these statistics low, but doing it within the confines of the law. The ends do not always justify the means. Okay, it's wonderful that they're keeping the statistics low and La Mesa is a safe place to live and work. But we need more police officers that understand the community. Walking the streets of downtown La Mesa, shaking hands with the business owner, understanding who is on the streets of La Mesa. If they see a homeless person, they don't have to resort to violence or tase or even shoot somebody. They could say, hey, Bob, we understand Bob acts up sometimes. Let's have a talk with him and know what's going on in our community. You know, I just think that the defunding is kind of is out of line with what we need. La Mesa is a great place to live. There are a few bad apples. And I posted when this happened with Officer Dugan, this is not La Mesa. This is not the character of the people that live in La Mesa. We need to make decisions, make them quick, get rid of these officers that make the mistakes, and then hire officers that live in our community. I think if officers live in our community within a year of them working in La Mesa, they're apt to not start the violence living in the same community where there may have some feedback or some throwback with those community members.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Colin, let's hear from you.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, public safety is one of the core responsibilities for local government, and it's something that I take very seriously. And if we're going to continue to keep our city safe, we're going to have to have a police force and a fire department that we pay well so we can attract the best people. But we also need to make sure that we're requiring accountability for people who serve the public in that capacity. So I'm very proud of our efforts in the council to get started for a police oversight body. We voted on that at the end of last year. We're moving forward with that. That will happen. We're expecting actually on Tuesday the first report about that, and hopefully we're going to have an affirmative vote to move that forward to create some real mechanisms for accountability in our city. That being said, I don't think that's the end of the story. I don't think one vote is just going to solve this this issue. This is a very persistent issue. It's not limited to La Mesa. It's a big national conversation that we're having, and I'm committed to having it. One of the other things that we have before us that we all need to pay attention to, and I want to encourage all the people watching now to continue to pay attention to, is that we're going to be hiring a new chief. Our chief retired last week, and we're going to have a national search for their replacement. We're going to also have opportunities for the community to engage in that process, to tell the city council, to our city manager who's responsible for making that hiring decision, what sort of characteristics we're looking for in a new leadership for the department. I think that's going to be really important. But again, that's not the end of the story either. This is going to have to be a continuing dialogue, a continuing effort to make sure that our police force is representative of the community, treats people fairly and equitably, so that yes, while we are a relatively safe community, we need to continue to be safe, and we need to be safe equally to everyone. Everyone needs to feel safe in La Mesa. And we haven't always lived up to that. I think that's true, and we need to address that. I don't think anyone in La Mesa thinks that the rioting is okay. Absolutely not. Totally not okay. I also think that the broad majority of La Mesa really acknowledge what the peaceful protesters were talking about, and they do want to see some change. And so I think we can. I think these are totally compatible ideas. That we think protesting is good and valuable, and we think that riots are bad. These are my values, and I think they're the values of La Mesa, and I think we need to understand that and think about that as we move forward.
And Colin, your time is up. Thanks so much.
Very good. Let's move on to housing, another big issue. The housing shortage and homelessness are key problems across our region. What steps do you support to address homelessness in La Mesa? And also, how would you balance the state requirements for more housing, especially affordable homes, versus the concerns of some about retaining character of communities and assuring adequate parking? We had a lot of questions about the parking issue, by the way, from the public. So I'm kind of piling some of these together. Alan, it's your turn to go first.
Wonderful. Okay. But if we're going to maintain a thriving city, we need to address the housing issue. But at the same time, I don't want overcrowding in La Mesa. For example, in areas where there's available commercial land that's underutilized, it would make sense to build additional housing as long as our current infrastructure can handle it. I recently had a conversation with some La Mesa citizens who are very concerned about the overcrowding situation. I've recently heard about some of the buildings that are going up, some of the parking lots that will be diminished with the building. Is there a contingency plan for free-flowing traffic? I haven't seen one. In and out of our neighborhood, I haven't seen one. What about the freeway surrounding La Mesa? Affordable housing is important, but overbuilding La Mesa for any reason could make La Mesa less desirable and less safe. And it could be a hazard to our local businesses and village areas. So I believe in housing, but we have to do it responsibly. Just building because we're building, I just don't think that's responsible. And I think I need to get involved, and I want to get involved so I can help make good decisions on those particular housing decisions. Thank you,
Mayor. Thank you. Colin, let's hear from you.
Yeah, I mean, housing is one of the most motivating factors for me to be involved in public service. So a little bit of background, people don't know. In 2011, I was appointed by Governor Brown to work at the Department of Housing in Sacramento and served in his administration for a few years working on affordable housing policy. Spent a couple of years after that working at the San Diego Housing Commission, which is the public housing authority for the city of San Diego, the largest public housing authority in the San Diego region. So this is something that I care a great deal about. That's why I worked with the mayor to establish our homelessness task force, which just completed its report to the council very recently. And that's also why I've authored a number of policies to allow for more homes to be built here in La Mesa. The reality is, folks, is that, you know, we have a, and you said it even in the question, Miriam, is that we have a housing shortage. And the only way we can address the housing shortage unless we have more homes. And so we really have to think about that and figure out ways to be able to do that that create some more affordability and to create more opportunities for people to live in La Mesa. I think the focus on that really needs to be the kinds of developments that are near transit, that are near transportation choices, that will allow for more people to live in La Mesa without having to ride a car, without having to rely on a car all the time. Probably most people are still going to have cars, but households don't all have to have three cars if they can be near the trolley or be near a good quality bus. And that's the kind of development that I think we really need to be focused on. And that has some really great synergy with our climate action plan too. So one of the requirements of our climate action plan is to ensure that we have people living near transit so they don't have to drive as much in order to get to work or to get to other amenities.
Okay, Jack, your turn.
Thank you. First, I want to start out by an overall approach to these issues of both housing and homelessness. First of all, much of the time I see cities driven to do housing with an economic model with economic priorities. And I think that's an error. What drives housing design development should be what the community needs, what the people need. That should be the driving force. And with that, that's how we design our communities. That's how we set priorities. And of course, at some point, we will have to deal with the economic issues and make it happen. With regards to developing more housing, we don't have a shortage of expensive homes or even moderate priced homes in San Diego. To say that we have a housing shortage, we have to qualify that. We have a lack of affordable housing units, and we're going to have to increase the percentage of them as we move on with development. Cities throughout California, throughout San Diego, have failed in that ability. We have the ability to require developers to put in more affordable housing, and we have to do that here in San Diego. Those are the requirements of the RENA numbers. Those are the state requirements. With regards to homelessness, I was one of the strongest advocates for developing a homelessness task force in La Mesa, and I'm happy that we have able to get great talented people onto that task force. And one of the things they just did was to present a proposal with grant funding. We're going to be able to develop a homeless outreach and mobile engagement group. This kind of ties into the issue of police, and maybe we don't need to always send someone with a gun and an armament to deal with a homeless person or someone who's having a psychological issue. This has been tried, and we might go to put in the word CAHOOTS, CAHOOTS. There was a news program on one of the news stations not too long ago. And if you see that, you're gonna see that we have other options than always sending the police or even a PET team. There are other
models. Jack, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we are well over time. I apologize about that. And just, no worries. And just a reminder, if you want to know how much time you have left, we are putting it in the Zoom chat. Miriam, back to you.
Oh, very good. Okay. All right. Next question. And Jack, it'll be your turn to go first on this one. The burning of several banks and the closure of some other businesses has been tragic, but also presents potentially redevelopment opportunities. There's been a lot of ideas floated around on social media, everything from a town square with outdoor dining to housing or mixed-use development, a library, a community center that's centrally located, maybe a permanent home for the farmers market, or just more parking. I'd like to ask, what is your vision for the future of downtown that might be feasible to attain? And also, very briefly, what ideas do you have for the rest of La Mesa?
Sure. First, I want to talk about a few things that we didn't do well enough to make certain promises that we've kind of broken in La Mesa. Let's start with the library. The library where it is now is a temporary library. It was meant to be temporarily. We still owe the people of La Mesa, this part of the county, a county library that is one that will really serve all of our needs. So that's a priority. Let's look at the climate action plan and what we are obligated to do to reduce vehicle miles traveled inside the city of La Mesa. And we need to come up with a plan to deal with that. We also want to make sure that we accommodate things like our special events, farmers market, et cetera. All those things need to be played into a remake of our general plan in La Mesa and bring it up to date. I also want to pay some attention to the rest of La Mesa. La Mesa is 9 square miles with other areas that need attention with regards to how we can help invigorate them, businesses, communities. So the same kind of approach, innovative approaches to help those other communities need to be done. One of the ways that doesn't cost anything is if we put into our minds that La Mesa is a great place, that we smile and are friendly, and we provide that kind of environment to all of our customers, whether they live in La Mesa or they're coming to visit. That's the new kind of La Mesa that we need to put out there. It wouldn't cost any money. It just takes leadership at City Hall. Thank you.
Very good. Let's see. Alan, you're next.
You know, I agree with Jack on the library. Recently, I was studying for my 65 securities license, and I went into the library. And, you know, I'm not sure what the square footage of it is, but there was 10 people in there. But there was 15 mothers, and there were 15 kids doing Mother and Me. So there was no privacy. There was no room for the kids and the mothers to read their stories. So the library's got to be expanded. And we have the community center up there where the swimming pool is. That you, since I've been to La Mesa, I've been there twice, and we're underutilizing things. We need to utilize those particular buildings for the community. We need a bigger library. We need to use that community center so we can gather together and we can communicate to one another, because better is together. I think having community events like the Oktoberfest, including Juneteenth, including the farmers market, including Gay Pride, brings our community together. And those are the things that we need to invest in, to make sure that everybody can gather, we can talk. I've got friends that are on both sides of the aisle. But in the end, we can all come together for a beer because we respect one another. And I think that is the key for the La Mesa community. We have to learn how to respect each other. So I think doing those things gives us a sense of pride, a sense of community that we can all be proud of.
Okay, great. Let's move on to talking about the impacts of the pandemic.
Do you want me to answer that question?
Oh, here? I'm sorry, Colin. Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
That's all right.
Sorry.
That's all right. I think our village is really one of the really special parts about La Mesa. And you know, when I ran for the first time 4 years ago, you know, I knocked on a lot of doors and met a lot of people, you know, where they live. And even people who didn't live near the village would always, they would oftentimes offer up that one of the reasons they really liked La Mesa is that we had that as a resource. So they could go out to have a nice dinner or nice, you know, go out and have a drink with a friend. And they didn't have to go all the way to North Park. They didn't have to go downtown to enjoy those kinds of amenities. And so I think that's really a really significant resource that we have in La Mesa. And it's also just a big economic generator too. People from all over East County and increasingly the South Bay will come to La Mesa Village to go out and have a good time. Obviously, a little more before the quarantine, but you know, still some, right? And I think that's a real reflection of the investments that we've made in the city in that area. So we did a downtown streetscape that was very disruptive, and a lot of people didn't like it when it was happening. But the impact was that a lot of businesses responded in kind and made investments in that area. They opened up new businesses. They opened up new restaurants. They started creating what I think is really fairly described as a renaissance in the village. And we need to be keeping to look at that. That means we need to be looking at other sorts of things that can attract people there. There's been some ideas about doing some sort of a pedestrian piazza in the area. I think that's a great idea that deserves a lot of consideration. But I think we also need to be looking at sort of bike and pedestrian connections too, so you can allow more people to get to the area without having traffic impacts or parking impacts. So you can contribute to that ongoing vibrancy in the village. And so I'm really looking forward to continuing to make those a priority if I'm reelected to serve on the council.
Okay, thank you very much, Colin. Moving on to the budget. I'd like to ask each of you what your budget priorities are, given that the budget obviously has taken a hit in La Mesa and elsewhere because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And included in that, do you have any ideas for increasing revenues for the city? And if there is an additional round of CARES funding, how would you prioritize that? Last time around, businesses got about $1 million. And renters got about $600,000, but they quickly had a lot more people applying than funding. So let's see, and it is, Colin, it's your turn to go first.
Sure, yeah, so I mean, the challenge with budget is that there's never enough money for everything that you wanna spend
right.
on, right?
Right.
And I think the best way to think about budgets is they really should be thought of as a reflection of our values. And so I think with regard to the CARES money, we just had an example of this at our last council meeting where we decided to give substantially more money for business relief than for renter relief. And I think businesses need some help, no doubt about it. And I'm perfectly happy that we're providing some support for those businesses. But I think our values as a city and my values as a council member is that we have to be looking after the people who are the most vulnerable in our community first. And those are people who are at risk of eviction. Those are people who are potentially going to be homeless if they are not able to pay their rent. So I think we should have struck a better balance between those two issues. And if we're faced with that question again, that's the same set of values that I'm going to approach to it. With our budget, though, we're going to have some real challenges with this upcoming and ongoing recession. La Mesa is fortunate that we have substantial budgetary reserves, but we also, looking forward, have pretty substantial costs in order to keep things afloat. And so I think we are going to have to continue to look at new revenues. We put a tax on cannabis. I think that was the right move. And I think we're going to have to look at other kinds of revenue generators for the city to make sure that we continue to stay solvent and to make sure that we continue to provide good quality services to our community.
Okay. Jack, let's hear from you. We can't hear you all of a sudden. Jack, unmute yourself. We'll let your time start over.
Thank you. I keep on forgetting to unmute myself. Budgets are something that are very hard to deal with because there's never enough funding. But we can have priorities, and my priorities are the people. People need services. People want services from the city. And we should really look at the broad scope of all the services that the city is providing and how many of them need help. For a long time, police and fire got like carte blanche. They've got what they needed. We need to rethink what's the best way to provide the services that the police department gives our city, and see if there's some other ways, efficient ways, that we can provide some of those services. In the program that I mentioned earlier, these teams that would go out and work with different kinds of calls that doesn't require a peace officer, we can do that to save some funding. With regards to revenues, for a long time, I've been against any kind of regressive tax, meaning we tax the poor to help something that pays for something that helps everybody. We tax the poor more. And that's the kind of tax a sales tax would do, and many of the other taxes since we have. I want to reverse that. If people are first, then people who have the means should be paying more. That's the way Teddy Roosevelt did it, and many, many other leaders in this country in the past. And that's the kind of system we need if we want to get the revenues we need without hurting the people in our cities. With regards to the CARES funding, that is a good example why progressives need to get the majority at city council. It is important that progressives get elected, that I need to get elected so I can help the other progressives that hopefully will also be elected, whether it be Colin or one of the other candidates. We cannot afford to continue with the kind of actions that they just took place in which a majority didn't hear the cries of many, many hundreds of applicants that needed renter assistance. And we went to businesses. Of course, businesses need assistance as well, but let's weigh out who needs more. Thank you.
Okay. Alan, it's your turn on budget.
I think there's a balance. You got to have a balance between the businesses and citizens. And I think I agree with both candidates saying that priority is very difficult. I am a supervisor in a large company, and I supervise 40 independent owner businesses, and the CARES Act was important to them, and it helped them stay alive and stay vibrant. But we need a vibrant community in order to survive. So that balance between the citizens and the community is very, very difficult. I'm not privileged enough to know exactly what the city council has done in the past and who they gave what to what reason. But I understand that the most vulnerable are the people we need to take care of first. However, if we create a vibrant business community, we can have that revenue to take care of everybody in the Mesa. And I think we've all got to recognize that. So taking care of our citizens, absolutely important. Taking care of our business, absolutely essential. So having that mix, I'm going to stay with that so I can see some of the data that made the city council have the decisions that they made. So, and I'm not so clear of what that is. And that's, again, one of the reasons that I'm running. I want to be transparent. I want you to know why we made certain decisions. And if you don't know, it's your money. If somebody took my credit card, I want to know what they're spending. And you should know what they're spending their money on. So that balance is important, and I think those points are valid.
Okay, very good. Next, we're going to go to John, who has some questions that readers and viewers have sent in. And we're going to do this rapid fire so we can get in as many of them as we can. Let's try to do 1 minute responses maximum on these. John, are you there?
I am here, and thanks everyone for doing this. One of the things that we've seen some of our younger readers concerned about is the state of racial relations, specifically in Spring Valley, Lemon Grove, and La Mesa. Of course, you're only running for office in La Mesa. What are some ways that you can see working with the unincorporated area of Spring Valley to strengthen racial relations and also the incorporated city of Lemon Grove? And Colin, we'll start with you. 1 minute.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think a big part of that is relationships. I mean, we're going to need to have relationships. The people on the council should have relationships with other people who are on city councils in our neighboring jurisdictions. It's really important that they also have relationships with the supervisor's office, who represents the unincorporated areas of Spring Valley that are nearby. You know, I'm endorsed by the mayor of Lemon Grove. We have a good relationship. We've worked on some projects together and some policy issues together. I know both of the candidates running for supervisor, and look forward to being able to work with them there. Neither of them have endorsed my candidacy, but we're of a somewhat different worldview, but a very strong working relationship. But those things are really important.
Okay.
I apologize. The minute is up, and we're going to go now to, and thank you very much, Colin, by the way, for the answer. Jack, what do you see, what role can the city officials play in strengthening the regional racial relationships with Lemon Grove, Spring Valley?
Well, you know, La Mesa can really provide some leadership. Other cities have done it. We can be the leaders in East County to have events that are, whether you call them multicultural events, international events, and make it fun, make it tasty, musical, artful, and bring that together. You know, I've taught cultural diversity for much of my career for institutions, for organizations. That's one way you could start. But you also have to deal with the hardcore issues, whether it's racial profiling by the police departments, or it is some other kind of divide that we have. So we have community events and hardcore community discussions on racial issues in our communities. That's how we can do it. And we have to do it soon, not later. We can do it tomorrow and make it positive, fun. And more importantly, we change our community to be more together.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack. And Alan, your response to how do you see your role in improving the region's racial relationship?
I think both of the candidates had good answers. You know, real quick story. The day after the riots, I was standing in front of the Vaughn Shopping Center, and a lady came and asked me. She asked me, why are so many minorities moving into La Mesa? And I looked at her and I said, how long have you been a citizen of La Mesa? And she looked at me very proudly and said, I've been a La Mesa resident for 45 years. And she, that's great. That's wonderful. I said, well, I've been a La Mesa resident she said 25 years. And I said, well, I've been a La Mesa resident for 45 years. So does that mean you moved into my neighborhood? And she stormed away. We have to take this entitlement away from people. This is our community. I think it needs to be all inclusive. And we need to invite our friends, whether it be to the east or to the west or to the north or the south, to come and join us in celebrating that. And I agree with Jack, what Jack just said. We got to have some multicultural events. We got to have some fun. We got to bring people together so that people understand there's no controversy here in La Mesa. We are one, and we are La Mesa. We're better together.
Great.
And then Oh, sorry, Miriam. We have one more. Well, we actually have two more. And
I think we have a 12 few, minutes left. Few more. I think you had one question about conflicts of interest that several people had asked about.
Yes, we have. Colin, as you can imagine, folks who are watching this on Facebook Live are commenting. A man named Aaron Amerling has suggested several times through his post, and I'm summarizing what his posts were, that you have conflicts of interest when it comes to things such as real estate and development in La Mesa. This is something that you've heard before. I am also a Valhalla grad, and I'm curious how as a Norse man you're going to answer this question.
Well, I wanted to expand on that a little bit and say some of the other candidates in the race have ties to businesses in the village. One that's not here tonight, you know, is even on the board for the merchants. So I guess the broader question to everybody would be, how can you disclose any potential conflicts, and under what circumstances you could see yourself needing to recuse from voting to avoid a real or a perceived conflict?
And we can all agree that John, as a Norseman, is not conflicted from asking me this question, right? Okay. No, it's a good question. And, you know, fortunately in California, we have very clear rules about when people are obligated to, refrain from voting on certain issues. So I work for a nonprofit, and we have a board of directors who are fiduciaries to the organization, and I'm a fiduciary to the organization too. And so if ever there's a vote about a matter that either any of my board members either or their companies are involved in, I would be required legally to not vote on that. And in fact, I actually have a few years ago, one of our then board members was applying for some boards and commissions, and I refrain from voting on something like that and did something similar. Actually, one of our staff lives in La Mesa, and she applied for something a few years after that and didn't vote on those things too. And so those are good rules. And they're also ones that I very closely follow. If ever there's any question about any of those things, I always ask the city attorney. And fortunately he's, has done this long enough that he's able to provide me useful advice to withdraw if there's any situation like that.
Okay, let's see, I've lost track. Jack, I think you're next.
Sure. This is an easy one for me. One, I've been retired for 15 years, but also want to point out that as soon as I declared candidacy, I soon after withdrew my position with the Cleveland National Forest Foundation's board, an organization that I started 25 years ago as the president and been president for 25 years, because I did not want any appearance of conflict between what I do as a candidate and maybe later as a city councilman with the Cleveland National Forest Foundation, because we have taken legal action against Sandag, and we're not afraid of taking legal action against other entities that simply abuse the law with regards to climate issues or any other planning issues. I also withdrew my position with the task force on police oversight because I, again, did not want to have any appearance of conflicts with my position on that task force and my candidacy. I believe in integrity. I stand with my strong record of integrity, and that's how I'm going to go forward as a city councilman. I will be very transparent. If there's something that's wrong, I'll call it out. If there's something that's good and right, I'll call it out. But I won't try to hide anything. Thank you.
Okay. Alan.
Very, very easy for me. It was easy for Jack. It's very, very easy for me. I have no other agenda than to make the right decisions for La Mesa. That's it. No hidden agendas, no skeleton, none of that stuff. The only reason I'm running is to make sure that I get a voice in making the right decisions for La Mesa. That's as simple as it gets.
We are seeing a large group of so-called defender groups. They call themselves patriots. And oftentimes we are seeing that these groups are controversial at best, spurring racial violence at worst. What is your position, each one of you, about defenders coming in to La Mesa to quote unquote protect businesses?
Yeah,
and how do you And how do you compare and contrast that with other folks who are coming to protest in La Mesa on behalf of Black Lives Matter or Abolish ICE or so on?
Alan, go ahead.
Sure. You know, and I've talked about this a lot, and if you give me just a little extra time to explain this. The flag is an identity of our sovereign nation, okay? It's a flag that includes all of us, okay? Now, listen to me very carefully. I want the Black people, white people, Mexican people, people of all races and all nationalities to listen to me. The one thing that people from Defendees County bring to the fight is the flag. We need to make sure that we bring the flag with us, because the flag has a new meaning now. It's a representation of all of us, not just some of us. And if we reject that, we will never be one. So here's what I want everybody to do. From now until November 3rd, put a flag in front of your house. When I walk the streets of La Mesa and I see a flag, I think of a conservative. And sometimes it races. But that's not true, because I have some Black military people that fly flag. I fly a flag. But the identity for that is you're conservative and you're probably racist. Stop that. We need to fly the flag. When you march, fly the flag. Don't bring other flags. Fly the American flag, because you're an American. We're all Americans. And if we don't include ourselves, we will be excluded. So remember that. So please do that for us. And I think that brings our city together. And we can't start with the country. We can't start with the state. We have to start with the La Mesa, the 66,000 people we have in La Mesa. And if we do that, we de-weaponize those people who think they're patriots and using the flag.
Thank you so much, Alan. Jack, how do you feel about this? We know that, again, the San Diego Union-Tribune, Miriam, she saw one of her reporters attacked in La Mesa. And how do you feel about these groups coming into La Mesa, and how do you compare and contrast them when they point and they say, well, you got these other groups coming in as well?
And I wanted to mention, too, there is also, besides East County Defenders and Patriots and various outside groups, there is also the La Mesa Civil Defense Group, which was ostensibly formed to protect businesses after the riot. But as John has alluded, there's been a lot of, people under this sort of broad defender label coming in, some of whom have been engaged in actual fisticuffs. As he mentioned, one of our reporters was actually assaulted. And, there's been racial taunts and things too. So where do you come down on that, Jack?
You know, in times like this, in which we're dealing with real questions of who is a patriot, who is an American, I want to fall back on what we're doing throughout the country, which is the Constitution of the United States. I swore to protect the Constitution and the state Constitution for all enemies, foreign and domestic. The Constitution doesn't say that you can hate. The Constitution does not say that you could form your own militia on your own. Militia means it has to be government sanctioned. These are vigilante groups. The Constitution does say that you have the freedom of expression, that you can go out and do a protest. That is very American, and I not only participate, but support all people from being able to do that. That's a part of our country and culture and history. So I'm going to protect the Constitution where it comes to people expressing themselves, but I'm not going to support hate that is not protected by the Constitution of the United States and vigilante groups and militia groups that are self-formed. That's not something that the Constitution says you can have. And I think that's how we have to answer these questions. All candidates swear to uphold and protect the Constitution. All of our elected officials do that, and all of our peace officers and firemen do that as well. Let's go with that.
Okay. Colin, what's your stand on these defender groups?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think if people want to support law enforcement, then they should join a neighborhood watch group, not a racist Facebook group. We have perfectly normal, sanctioned neighborhood groups that are run by the city of La Mesa, that are connected to our police department, where they're just regular people, meet with their neighbors, keep an eye out for each other. That's good. And I've been to those meetings. I've been, they're just regular, honest people who are trying to look out for people in their area. But these other groups are really scary. And it's not just in La Mesa, it's not just in East County, it's happening all over this country. And we gotta say no to it. I understand that there's some people who are motivated not by these dark motivations, but they're troubled by the riots, they're concerned business owners. I appreciate that, and I understand that not everyone who's trying to get involved in this kind of stuff is coming from a dark place. But everyone needs to be really vigilant about trying to create these really negative, scary forces. And so we got to say no to it. And I think one thing that we can have some, and you know, at the last protest, if you saw, there were some of those folks from that Defend East County group who were out there with knives. They were drinking in parking lots. I mean, really scary stuff. That's not acceptable, and we got to push back on that as a community.
Okay, thank you all of you for sharing all of your views, and we're going to move on to closing statements. We'll give each of you a minute to get in any final words that you would like our viewers, readers, and listeners. This is going to be broadcast on radio also next week to know. And let's see. Jack, we're going to let you go first.
Thank you, Marion. You know, I've done a lot of advocacy work in La Mesa, and when I helped to advocate for the homeless task force, the law enforcement oversight task force, and the wellness task force, something I learned is that La Mesa has lots of great people with talent, skills, and knowledge. That's what I want to tap into to pursue this vision. We have the skills, we have the resources, we have good people in La Mesa. We need a government that will let the people of La Mesa help us move forward to tap into that source. I've seen it happen over and over with the task force that we formed when we let the people of La Mesa be part of the government and that we make the government work for the people. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I really want to thank all of you. Running for office is a huge responsibility.
Karen, you didn't let that out.
You missed Colin one more time. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Colin and Alan.
And Alan.
Oh, gosh, I'm tired. Sorry about that.
That was going to get
me. Colin, you go. Okay, your turn. Let's hear your final closing statements.
Great. Well,
is that too?
Okay. Thank you very much, Miriam, and thank you, Jack and Alan, for doing this with us. And then I do also want to thank everyone who's watching on Facebook or who will be listening to it later.
Yes,
this has been it's been really exciting to be on the council and to be able to serve my neighbors and my community. I really do hope I have an opportunity to do that for 4 more years. You know, I mentioned up at the top, you know, when I was the first Democrat elected to the city council, new Democrat elected to the city council for the first time in more than 20 years. I think that's reflecting sort of a new direction where we need to go as a city, new sets of values. I've been able to show how we can apply those values through public policy. We adopted our enforceable climate action plan, the first in East County. We fought to keep the farmers market in the La Mesa Village. And we're making it easier for homeowners to be able to invest in their homes, to build granny flats, to create new revenues for their families, to create opportunities for their older family members to live with them, or for their younger family members who are coming home from college or who are stuck in college. They're stuck at home because they're not allowed to be in college during these times. So that's what I bring to the position. That's what I want to be able to keep doing for my city and my constituents. And I really do want to ask quite humbly to my constituents and the voters in La Mesa to give me another 4 years so I can keep working for you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Colin. And Alan, you get to have the final word today.
Final word. Well, I want to thank you. Well,
Colin went first starting, so okay. First at the end.
Well, I want to
last at the end, you had the final word.
Thank you for having me. I want to thank Jack, Colin, and John for being on the panel with me. And I want to say that as a longtime La Mason, I've represented the city as a student, a businessman, and an athlete. I'm running with no hidden agendas other than to keep La Mesa safe. The things that have happened, I've lived in La Mesa. I've had family die in La Mesa. I'm just asking you for the ability for me to help make La Mesa a better city to live. Without fear of me walking down the streets of La Mesa with people taking my picture or profiling me or calling me names. I mean, it is getting that bad, and that's why I'm running. I want to bring back to La Mesa from yesteryear. I don't want to be Mayberry, but I don't want to be New York City either. And I think an even balance of that is who La Mesans are. And I represent La Mesa. I'm here to stay, and I'm asking for your vote on November 3rd. I appreciate everybody. Thank you for listening.
Very good. Well, I want to thank all three of you. Running for office is such a commitment, especially in the times that we're in, the turbulent times, and trying to do it amid a pandemic is even more difficult. Again, I want to thank the Facebook Journalism Project Grant for funding this and recognizing the importance of hearing from candidates, seeing the candidates live in a forum, despite the fact that there's a pandemic and candidates, it's hard for them to get out and go places. We're going to have some more coming up on the 21st, folks. We're going to be having the supervisor forum coming up, and I'm pleased to say that both Joel Anderson and Steve Voss have agreed to participate. We'll have some for the other outlying cities that will be announced soon, and we'll be posting on our site the video of tonight's forum with these La Mesa City Council candidates, as well as the three others who were not able to be here tonight but have graciously agreed that they will do individual Zoom interviews. It was just a scheduling issue, not you know, trying to duck or dodge. So with that, I want to just thank all of you again. Thank all of the viewers and readers who sent in such great questions. And good luck to whoever wins.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks.
Okay. Jack. Thank you very much, everybody. You
guys be You're safe. Welcome.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producers, John Sepulveda and Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.
This election year is one of the most contentious in history. There are so many moving parts, and that's just at the national level. That's before we even talk about what's happening here at the local level, which is why it is so important that East County Magazine and KNSJ continue to bring you what is happening with our local races. You can find out more by going to knsj.org. And while you're there streaming our service, listening to be a better informed citizen, consider giving a gift. knsj.org is a community radio station. It relies solely on listener support, and we would love to have yours. Go to knsj.org to learn more. And thank you.